We're started now, right?
We're started.
Okay. Well, my topic today, I've changed the title several times, and I just made my final decision 3 minutes ago. And I'm calling it Building a Prayerful Attitude. And it all started from a chapter in one of Ernest Holmes' books that I had never heard of before that Connie talked about last week, and I did hear her talk, and this particular chapter in that particular book, it's called Dealing with Conditions in Life. So this song puts me in a prayerful attitude, and it's one that I wrote. And it's about my belief that any one of us here, any one of us in the hotel, any one of us in Sterling, any one of us anywhere, if we're sincere about it and we're truthful and honest and hopeful and all those good spiritual qualities, our prayer is loved and accepted by the infinite. It's nice to have religious science 5-step treatments or 7-step treatments. It's nice to have those things, and I believe they can be very powerful. But I think of prayer in itself is powerful. There is a light inside of me, and it is shining inside of me. There is a light inside of me, and it is part of eternity, and it's my prayer, just be in me, my life's a prayer, just be in me. It sets me free that I am praying now, just be in me. There is a love inside of me, and it is loving inside of me. There is a love inside of me, and it is part of eternity, and it's my prayer, just be in me, my life's a prayer, just be in me. How good to know, it sets me free that I am praying now, just be in me. That I am praying now, just be in me. Thank you.
How appropriate we have a dance accompaniment.
Oh, yeah.
It fit.
Always appropriate and always welcome. Someday we'll have a video of that.
Yeah. I almost wish I was crawling around the floor too.
You won't have any problem from me if you do. I'm actually going to sing a second song in a minute or so. And it's a song that incorporates the five steps of treatment. And let me make sure that I've got it. I know what they do. Sometimes I don't remember it too well. But I believe the first one, recognition. And that, in my opinion, is recognizing who is the creator, who is the source, and what that creator, what that source stands for, and what that creator does, and what that creator is doing right now. And the second step is unification. That involves me, that involves every one of us as individuals and as a group. God is good. I'm part of God. I live within God. And I'm good too. God is powerful. God is the power. Because I live within that great consciousness and power called God, I share that power. I speak my word, and the power of the Creator of the Almighty comes through me. And I get done what I need to get done. The third step of the treatment is realization. I know I had that in something, but I'll just go by what's in my head. I realize that with that knowledge, with that intelligence, with that joy, with that love that I have that comes from the Creator, that I share with the Creator, I have so much behind me. And whatever condition, if it's a negative condition and I want to change it, that I can get that changed. I can see something that may feel unlovely, unhappy, definitely not what I want. I can see it and picture within my mind. I can form mental equivalent of where I want to be by just seeing, I want someone to do a treatment for me so that my music business can keep growing. I see myself on a stage having a concert with lots of people there. Each one has paid a ticket and they've got lots of money in their pockets and they're out there and they're going to buy a CD, at least one, and things are going to keep on growing. People will cheer and applaud and they'll say, when are you going to be playing next time? I can see that. I've seen it with others and I'm just as good as they are. I see it with myself. So, realization, realizing that I can be all that I want to be. Thanks. Fourth part of a treatment. Thank you for my being here. Thank you for my having made it from Baltimore to here in good time, no traffic problems. Had a nice cup of coffee here. Everybody's being so loving and wonderful to me, for sure. People came here to see and hear me. I have so much to be thankful for. My car works well. I've got some snacks there for after the show, calling this a show. Do I need to say anything else after my treatment? No. So I release the prayer, whatever my prayer is going to be about. And so it is. It's done. It doesn't need to be done anymore. And if I should forget, I'll just go back to step one and reaffirm who God is. Step two, who I am. Step three, realize that we are the power together, me and my partner as one. And we'll take our care of business of what we need to take care of. Thanks. Release. That's it. So, I'm going to sing this song about treatment, and it's a good idea. Just like a seed you put in the ground. We have a wonderful compost heap at home. It just comes from all kinds of different veggies that I have bought, and you know, all the stuff that you pull off when you buy an ear of corn. Mm-hmm. Just put it in there, put a little dirt on top of it, mix it around, and just keep on doing. We've been doing it for years and got some great soil out there. Mm-hmm. So, get a good idea, put it in mind, give it to spirit, it'll do fine. Plant a seed in fertile ground. Watch the bloom and grow. It's glory bound. I know about spirit. I know a thing or two. Spirit is strong and spirit is true. Spirit is life and spirit is love. It's true on earth and heaven above. That was about spirit and what spirit is. That's the first step. Here's the second step of the treatment. I know about me. I know about you. We are strong, aren't we? And we are true. We are life. And we are love, just like the Almighty. It's true on earth and heaven above. Get a good idea. Put it in mind. Give it to spirit. Grow, it's glory bound. When I pray for you, third step, and I pray for me, I know that spirit is setting us free. Here's about the condition. No matter the problem, we're blessed with love. It's true on earth and heaven above, and that love is active. Here comes step four and five. I'm finished this prayer, and so are you. And I am thankful, and you are too. And we believe what we have prayed, and it is done. Let's say it together. And so it is. Get a good
good idea. Put it in mind.
Give it to spirit.
Give it to spirit. It'll do fine. It'll be fine. Plant a seed in fertile ground. Plant the seed in fertile ground. Watch it bloom and grow. It's glory bound. Watch it bloom and grow. It's glory bound.
It is glory bound. That seed is growing away. That good idea. Yes, I can have a healthful life no matter how long I've had this particular physical ailment. It's not mine. It is real in a certain sense because I feel it and I may even see it. But in the ultimate reality, which is the real reality, it is a false idea. There's something greater than that. So, we talked about the five steps, and we also talked that we were talking about Ernest Holmes wrote a chapter called Dealing with Conditions in Life. And what was the name of the book, Connie?
Love and Law.
Love and Law, yes. And I see love as that fluid, tangible, flexible thing, and law as something that is and just has no favorites and does what it's supposed to do, just like the law of gravity and other laws that we see. You know, even if God loves me, if I jump off a cliff, I'm going to go down. Hopefully I'll be landing in water or something, you know, but that's just the way it is, and I knew it to start with, so I'm not going to jump. So, I'd like to share some things that have happened recently, and this is a kind of prayer that I do treatments. I am a practitioner, and I do treatments. I love doing treatments for people individually, eyeball to eyeball, but I've done them over the phone sometimes. I don't always have clients, but sometimes I have clients and they don't know it. They may be getting prayed for and they just don't know it. And they may not even believe in religious science. But a day-to-day thing, what I'm really trying to do is keep my consciousness raised up. And I've got to work on it, not just every day in the morning, but I've got to come back to it because there are little busy thoughts in my head that they keep distracting me from what I know is the truth with a capital T. Well, I wish I had, I'm going to have to write a song. And I could, but I want to make sure I get everything said. Time's moving on. I may go 5 minutes over time, you know. But I'm going to talk about the Clarendon Blues. I live on Clarendon Avenue in Pikesville, Maryland, which is right next to Baltimore, a little corner of Baltimore. If you see a map of Baltimore, it's right in the northwest corner. And it's an old neighborhood. And just like a lot of other old neighborhoods or even new neighborhoods, the infrastructure is having problems. So a few weeks before we went away a couple weeks ago, and they gave us plenty of warning about it, BG&E, which is Baltimore Gas and Electric, which is our power source for, gas and electric, they hired a contractor, and in the whole neighborhood, they happened to choose Clarendon Avenue. Maybe it was having the most problems. And it wasn't all of Clarendon Avenue, it was just the block where I lived. In a way, I could get pretty paranoid, and I think I probably did. I'll tell you, those people came and it was hot, and it's very noisy. They had heavy equipment. They had drills, and they still do. It's still going on, by the way. They're not going on today. Thank goodness. I can go home and relax. But as I said, it's hot, noisy, dirty, hard to move your car around. You have to wait for the machines to get out of the way. You have to talk to people and all that kind of stuff. And I'm sure there's a lot of us who are PO'd about it. But, so that's the thing. I wish they'd hurry up. Why do they have to do this? Why would they choose July when it's so hot and uncomfortable? Why? You know, there's a big story. It could be even bigger if I could think of all. I wrote a couple pages in here, but I'm not going to read it all to you. Not enough time. So, my little thought, and I'm hoping right now some things are coming to your head to where you have some things taking you down, as they say, the slippery slope of poor me, poor us. When's it going to get better? I don't know if it will, etc. You know, that story. We all have stories like that. Think about yours, because I'm hoping that we can share about it in our workshop later. Well, I got to tell you, it needs to be done for the bridge here. The folks are all the guys and gals are very polite. They're very knowledgeable. One guy wanted to sit down. He said, if any time you want to learn more about what we're doing and why we're doing it, I'd be happy to spend as much time as you need telling you about it. Nice folks. And another guy said, we're here to serve the neighborhood, to get things better, and we're willing to work it out with any of you. If you need to come out, just give me a 5-minute warning. I'll get all the machines out of the way. It just went on and on. They smile a lot. I rolled the window down and shook hands with them, you know. I think they're really doing the best they can. And what can I say? Well, that's the Clarendon Blues. Not so blues in the end. It's still noisy and dirty and all that stuff, but I have another take to it. And I feel better about it. I talked myself into it. How did I get that way? Maybe through my training? Maybe through the training that all of us get. Maybe it goes beyond religious science. That we all know that if we have a positive take on things, if we see things differently, things can't help but get better. You know, that's like a quick prayer you can do all the time. Keep yourself in a high way. All right, well, the neighborhood and I are in good shape. However, I'm still worried about Canada. Months ago, Patty's my wife, said, I was thinking we should take a vacation. And you haven't done anything about researching and Iceland, which is where I know you want to go, Norm. And the airlines dropped out or something there, and they've been having problems. So I thought maybe we could go to British Columbia, specifically Vancouver, and Mickey and Dylan and Kaylin, Mickey's Patty's daughter, my stepdaughter, Dylan's her husband, and Kaylin, there's their gorgeous, wonderful 12-year-old dancing daughter. They're going to Vancouver, which is much cooler than here. Water around, it's a beautiful city, and there's so much to do. I said, yes, I understand. But what are we going to do about the animals? We have 7 cats and 2 dogs. What? Yes. Wow. Okay. You can talk about it later to me if you want to. Why do you have 7 cats and 2 dogs? Okay. Mary, our cat, our beloved cat that we found in southwestern Virginia as we were hiking on the Appalachian Trail in a motel. That was back in 2008. And Mary lost a kidney because it had to be removed. She had cancer in it. And now we're trying to control the cancer in the other one by giving her sub-Q every day, if you know what that is, about taking a needle and putting it under her skin and then putting water in it so her kidneys can flush out the poisons more easier. And we do that twice a day. And we give her some kind of steroid, you know, each time also. We've been told she's not going to last forever, but the vet really loves her too and is just rooting for her as much. So we want her to have a comfortable life. And just all the animals and all that's going on the street and everything else, I thought, you know, Patty, maybe you should go and I'll stay home. But she convinced me to go and I went. Well, we went to Vancouver. The flights out there were fine. But then as soon as we got into Canada, I had my passport. And Patty just got hers because it was a little older than mine. She got a brand new one. I had an old one. It wouldn't scan in the machines and I had to go into different long lines to wait for them to clear my passport. So welcome to Canada, Norm, you know. And when we finally did that and we finally got Canadian money, is this a long story?
No, go on.
Okay. We got into the bus to go to the rental car place a couple miles away, and it was sort of a broken down place. They were doing the best they could, you know, and they were very busy. And we didn't get the car we wanted. It was a big van, and we're used to small economy cars. It was just the two of us. It's going to cost more gas. And then we had to pay Canadian insurance. We never get insurance when we get a car, but we're in a foreign country. I thought Canada was just sort of a friend of the U.S., and we could just, well, things have gotten a little stricter. They've gotten stricter in this country, so why not in Canada? So anyway, we finally got our big van, and it was fine. And then we had to go. We were not in Vancouver. We were in Richmond, like BWI, Baltimore Washington International Airport, is not in Baltimore. It's in one of those little towns near Baltimore. So anyway, we had to go across a body of water. We couldn't find the bridge for a long time. We didn't have GPS with us. And Patty had looked it up on the map, but I guess things just went awry. We didn't have a good Canadian map. We went around and around in circles. We got there at 10:30 in the morning, Pacific time. But we didn't get to the place we were supposed to go to, even though it was probably only about 7 or 8 miles away, until 4 o'clock. We were driving all over the place. You had to cross several bodies of water, find the bridge, find the freeway. You couldn't find out what little streets to go on to go to the freeway, you know, and it was a mess. We got there. I was hungry. Patty was sleepy. She didn't care. She slept all afternoon and all night because she's a night owl and she's wiped herself out. And I was hungry, couldn't find a grocery store, ended up having peanut butter sandwiches and a glass of wine. That wasn't bad for supper. Well, it was crazy, all I can say. And we worried about the animals. One of the people was taking care of my dog, Jack, which is in one of my songs. And we had a thunderstorm up there in Baltimore, and Jack was crazy after that. And he was trying to bite her through the bars, you know. He got better after the thunderstorm went away, but he was crazy. And he pooped in his little crate and all this stuff. Well, it just went on and on. Why did I go to Vancouver? Why didn't I listen to myself and just say, Patty, you know, somebody has to stay here with the animals, you know? Well, that's the second story. I may have to forget about the third one. But we both agreed. I asked Patty. I started to tell her the story again. She said, I already know the story. I don't need to hear it again. Okay. So I'm still in a way telling it in my head. But the better part of the story is that the Canadian people, or at least the people that I met, that I was attracted to, that were drawn to me, because I was feeling high, even though this stuff happened. Whenever I get on the streets, get away from the two people who knew the story, me and Patty, you know, I just felt all of a sudden, hey, I'm an explorer. I didn't feel like exploring the whole city because it's huge, but I just explored the neighborhood. The shops were cool. The people were so nice. Anything I needed or wanted, talk about their country. There's a lot of people from different countries over there. The whole continent of Asia has moved to Vancouver. India, Pakistan, Korea, China, all kinds of folks. And they're all interesting, and they all have different restaurants, and they're all smiling, and they're all happy to be there, and they're happy to see you. Just everywhere I went, it was wonderful. Even though in the van, I'm combining the third story, the van picked up a nail. Big fat tire. And the last time that happened to me in my little Prius C, I had to buy a whole new tire. And I said, I am not buying that rental car company that's already robbed me blind. I'll get a patch for it. And some guy heard me talking to the person in the Esso station. Did you know that Esso gasoline still exists?
No.
That's from back in the 50s. Now, some of you aren't old enough to know about it, but, you know. But they have it in Canada. That's where
it
went.
I don't even know what that is.
Right. Of course not. You're the younger generation. And so, anyway, somebody told me, said, I overheard you, and it sounds like you're looking the only place in North Vancouver where we were staying that I know of where we can fix a tire that's convenient for you is this way, and follow me, and I'll just point out to where it is. Go way, way down there, about 11 blocks. People were nice and all that, and by golly, they sure were. And they said it would take about an hour to get it done. They had it done in 20 minutes, you know. Just everything was working out good. The flight back home, there was two flights, one to San Francisco. We only had a half hour to get into the next plane. We landed, and the doggone transporting thing that goes from the plane to the gate, it was messed up. And they said, sorry, folks. But guess what? Even though it was time to get on the other plane, we just walked out, picked our stuff up, and just got in the line. And in two or three people, we were on the plane. You know, everything was perfect. And the last thing I have to say, which is why I think I was supposed... I'm joking about this. This is so wonderful. The reason why I think I went to Canada was the flight back. The lovely African-American young woman was having a real bad time sitting next to me at the window. She smiled and greeted me and all that. When she and I got talking, Patty was sleeping again. She doesn't sleep enough, so I'm glad she was sleeping. And I talked to her, and she talked to me, and she talked to me, and she talked to me, and told me all of these conditions she was having in her life, about her children and her ex-husband, and about her job, and how she felt she was receiving prejudice, and it wasn't the thing for her. She wanted to go to China, and she would be the only African American, but she really wanted to go there and teach about something in business that she knows about. She sounded like a very bright and intelligent and talented young woman. And by golly, I said to myself, I said, I don't know what your religion is, but I feel like doing a treatment for you. And I was with her. It was a 20-minute, half-hour treatment. And she went to sleep, and I kept on praying. And when our flight landed the next morning, it was a red-eye flight, that woman greeted me with a big smile and just said, thanks. Anybody got the album? What's my album called?
Thanks.
So, those are two, actually, the three stories, because I told you about the flat tire or the slow leak. And it's just something about how raising your consciousness enough, and my consciousness got raised, that I was open to why I was there, what I needed, and to have another story. Another story that really suited what it really was. And if you have anything remotely like that that's already happened, or you can tell me, you can tell us, we're going to be in a circle after that, and of course it will not be recorded. And if all you folks who are listening to me over the internet, maybe you have a story too that you can tell someone. So I think we should sing us out with a song because it's past time to take our break. So I'll do
break time.
As soon as the song's done, yes, it should be break time right now. I appreciate your reminding me, LaVanya. So, you know something? I turned up to a song, and I am somebody who just believes in things happen for a reason. And something that makes me high. It makes me in a higher consciousness is what I mean by being high, is gratitude. I give my thanks to God for what I have and will receive. I give my thanks to the blessed God for what I have and will receive. I give my thanks to the one for what I have and will receive. I give my thanks to the only one for what I have and will receive. I give my thanks to love for what I have and will receive. I give my thanks to eternal love for what I have and will receive. For what I have and will receive. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks.
It's break time.
Yeah.